talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. All right, currently looks like Hollis, Oklahoma, you're the hot spot, 84 degrees. Arnett, 76. Woodward, 73. Slapout, 75. Beaver, 77. Canadian, Texas is at 80. Shamrock's at 84. It's a really beautiful day out there. I don't know. I hadn't looked outside lately here. What's the winds doing? They're out of the north, 11 miles an hour at the Elk City Mezzanet with a gust up to 14 here at the Gabe Gadget. We got 79.3% or 3 degrees and 33% humidity. All right. Well, looks like Ian, whichever it is hitting the Florida coast down there and send out some good thoughts for the farmers down there. They're right in the middle of cotton and peanut harvest, and I think it's hit, I don't know unless they changed it, I was thinking it was hitting right there at Cape Corral, is a category 4, and some places have already got 12 to 18 inches of rain. But according to the Southeast crop progress report, cotton harvest has started in some areas down in there, but the USDA meteorologist Brad Ripley says cotton crops now in the open bowl stage in the southern Atlantic region face a really main threat of impact from the hurricane. And what's going on down there, just so you guys know, in southeastern United States, in Alabama, for example, cotton bowls opening is 74%. And that compares to 50% last year, with the five-year average at 69%. Cotton harvest is 4%. Peanuts are dug about, they're about 19, they're about 20% done. That compares to the same as last year. They're on track. And peanut harvest is at 9%, which compares to 11% last year. In Florida, cotton bowls were opening was at 53%. Compared to 36% last year. Cotton harvest is only 2%, so that's a bad thing with this hurricane hitting. Man, it's a bad hurricane. And peanuts dug are about 50%, so they're about half done in Florida. And harvest is at 34%. Down in Georgia, or up in Georgia from Florida, if you want to go into that conversation, because this hurricane is going to affect this the state of Georgia also. Cotton bowl openings is at 74%, which compares to 65% last year. Harvest is only at 3%. Peanuts dug are about a fourth of the way done, and that compares to 15% last year. Peanuts harvest is at 12%. So they got to send some good thoughts down there for them, because it's not going to be pretty once the hurricane comes through there. Well, we got all kinds of things going on today. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour, and all hour we'll be thinking about grilling. So, hey, all you grillers out there, are you ready to up your game? Taylor Ranch beef is your answer, no matter what skill level, from the beginner to the master griller. Starting with Taylor Ranch beef will take you to the next level. The majority of Taylor Ranch beef grades prime, so prime your grill with Taylor Ranch beef. Your family and friends will appreciate and enjoy your decision. At Taylor Ranch, they develop every animal as if they were going to serve it on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, and whole beef, and I'm sure he's taking orders for November and December right now. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Well, let's check out what's happening in the grain market. I'm going to tell you my, coming up next segment, I'll tell you about my tree cutting episode yesterday, adventure, and how I couldn't shove all the trees up because the cows were too busy eating all the leaves of the trees I was cutting. So we'll talk about that here coming up. Well, looks like the market's all over the place today. We got we got red, we got green. So let's get her started. Corn for futures December 668, March is 674, and so is May at 674. Soybeans November 1399, January 1406, March 1409, soybeans for May 1413, soybean meal October $421.50 per short ton. December is 411.20 and January is 408.20. Soybean oil's actually down quite a bit today. October 64.89 a pound, December 61.51 a pound, and January is 60.94 a pound. Hard red winter wheat, December $9.68, March is $9.64, oats is December $3.73, and March is $3.75. Cotton, December $0.88, it's down again today for just about 10 days in a row it's been down, and March is $0.85. Well, speaking of cotton, we got something for you right here. Sales stay weak last week and shipments rebound. Net export sales for the week ending on September 15th was 33,700 bales, and that's 480 pound bales. This brings the total to the 22-23 sales to about 8.3 million bales. Total sales at the same point last year in 21-22 marketing year was at 7.1 million bales. Total new crop sales for the 23-24 sales are standing at 982,300 bales right now. Shipments for the week were 239,700 bales of cotton, and total exports to date 1.7 million bales compared with 1.4 million bales last year in the same marketing year. Sorry if I sound a little hoarse today. Allergies are just killing me today. Overnight, the U.S. dollar index got as high as 114.7. Some of the visors in the commodity deal said this is the highest the U.S. dollar has been since 2002. And in the past 12 months, the dollar has rallied nearly 25%. The highest dollar makes U.S. commodities more expensive for other countries. Namla Blon with Total Farm Marketing says this typically happens when the U.S. dollar gets high. Other countries can offer cheaper supply. However, she said this is the challenge of the year. Supply is short worldwide. Currently, the U.S. dollar is at 114.6, is about an hour ago. In the grain market, corn is currently down a little bit, and its current peak for the overnight traded at $6.67. Soybeans peaked overnight at 14.06. Currently, they are down to 14.03. Wheat is up 9 cents on the Commodity Board of Trade in Chicago at $8.82. Well, this ought to be of interest to most of you farmers and ranchers that fertilize your pasture. Yesterday, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the agency is making $500 million in grants available to boost American-made fertilizer. Under the leadership of President Biden and Vice President Harris, the USDA is creating a resilient, secure, and sustainable economy. Okay, and this support to provide domestic independent choices for fertilizer supplies is part of the effort, Vilsack said. The fertilizer production expansion program, which was originally announced in March with $250 million in funding, In the months to follow, fertilizer prices soared, and the agriculture industry was not shy about sharing their frustration. And I remember back in the spring, we were all not really happy with what was going on with the fertilizer prices. At a roundtable discussion at an Iowa farm in August, USDA Secretary Vilsack, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tay, and U.S. Representative Cindy Ants heard from over a dozen representatives of the Iowa agriculture and biofuel sectors. Several brought up the challenge of high input costs, and one of those costs was fertilizer. A farmer in attendance even said his input cost was becoming unbearable, and I've heard that a lot around western Oklahoma and eastern Texas. On Tuesday, the agency cited the increased burden farmers are facing as a reason for doubling the funding to $500 million. There was also a discussion at the August roundtable about the impact tariffs have on fertilizer costs. The United States currently has tariffs on phosphate fertilizers from Russia and Morocco. Vilsack said the administration's support for domestic production in August, and that message was held consistently yesterday. Recently, supply chain disruptions have shown how critical it is to invest in agriculture supply chain here at home. However, not all Americans in agriculture agree with the fertilizer tariffs. A gentleman from, he's the director of the sales for ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer, expresses concerns over the Moroccan fertilizer tariffs. The reality is, this protection of U.S. fertilizer industry comes at cost. It is borne by the U.S. farmer and the U.S. consumer. It will translate into higher food prices. So there we have it. When I come back, we'll talk some cattle. Got some reports from Woodward yesterday. Also, everybody enjoy the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. I got to talk some crap on my fellow employees here at the radio station. I'll tell you more about that also coming up in the next step.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here to go over your Elk City Livestock Auction Report for Friday, September 23rd. 1,944 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 390 brought 193. 6 at 442 brought 208. 5 at 538 brought 182. 9 at 616 brought 178. 6 at 666 brought 156. 3 at 705 brought 153. 8 at 734 brought 172.50. 3 head of heifers at 297 brought 183. 5 at 501 brought 154.50. 7 at 564 brought
156, 4 at 573 brought 146, 5 at 603 brought 146, 4 at 628 brought 154, 11 at 778 brought 160. Butcher cows were 1 to 96, butcher bulls brought 69 to 116.50, bred cows were 800 to 1310, pairs brought 850 to 1760. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Ryan Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Myself, I'm fourth generation customer there at First National Bank. You get a lot of loyal customers there at First National because we don't change a lot. This is who we are. You can come in and talk to us if you have a difficult situation, and we're going to do what we can to get you through it. And right now in this economy, that's a big plus to have in a bank, somebody that will roll with you, because right now you're rolling with the punches. Everybody is. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I don't know if you guys are watching live on the website or on our app or are actually watching on Facebook, but I've got the camera turned over there on my boss right now. He actually does work. And so, you know, the guy back here in the background, Jared, Mr. Skinny on the sports himself, Jared, I said, Aaron, sorry. Anyway, that's not whiskey he's drinking back there. But anyway, I just wanted to prove to you guys that Gabe, he doesn't just drive around and yell at us in here. He's actually working in here with me today. I don't know if he's monitoring me or judging me, but just FYI, those guys are having an employee party tomorrow from 11 to 1. And guess what I'm doing from 11 to 1? Well, I'm sitting right here, and they're having a chili cook-off. And so they left the ag guy out of the chili cook-off. And I haven't got out of them what they're using for their meat, for their chili. I've asked 100 times, are you guys using grass-fed beef? Or are you using certified Angus beef? And the only thing I've got out, answer I got out of one was Randy Britton. And he said that he was just using whatever Walmart had. So the McCool Act wouldn't do him no good because he doesn't even look at the label. So anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know that's him. He's actually working, so I'll turn it back over to the star of the show. Anyway, we got all kinds of things going on out here. So yesterday, one of my Jimmy Clark adventures was I've been working on a project on and off for a couple months with my skid loader down in my neighbors down at the Willow Ridge Ranch, and they had a bottom next to the river that was just overtaken with the locusts and hedge trees, and I've been down there shearing them off and piling them up. But yesterday, the cows have been around me a little bit here and there, but yesterday, I honestly have never seen anything like it. I don't know if it's a sign that the grass has run out of protein. There's plenty of grass there. But as I was cutting the trees down, and I posted a picture of them on our Facebook page, on the KZO Facebook page. As I was cutting those trees down, the cows, they come out of nowhere. And I wasn't even bothering them. You know, if I sheared a tree down right next to them, they might step out of the way. But they were eating the leaves off the locusts and the hedge apple trees. They were just eating them as fast as I could cut them down. And I was going to start piling them up. And I left some out there because the baby calves were laying there underneath by the trees that I was shearing for shade. So I didn't want to hurt any of them. So I'll go back and get them. But I'm sure they cleaned the leaves up overnight. But I honestly had never seen cattle do that before. Been doing it for the last couple months and nothing happened, but yesterday for some crazy reason they were just eating the leaves off like grapes, and it was great. They can clean the leaves up and then be they're going to dry up and fall on the ground anyway. And then where the trees that I'd cut down a couple of days ago that I was piling up, the cows were going over there because the leaves had fell off and was piled up under where the tree was laying. They were eating them off the ground too. So I don't know if those trees got leaves got protein in them or whatever. Obviously, I'm not an expert at that, but I just thought it was crazy that they were doing it. The Ag Text line, the Today and Ag Text line is open. If anybody's ever seen cattle do that, text in, tell me a little story about it. 580-225-9697. So back to the chili cook-off. I mean, what the heck? I'm going to cook some tonight, and it's going to secretly be installed into the employee party tomorrow, and either they're going to be spending a lot of time in the bathroom or they're going to actually like it. Oh, here he comes. I knew he was going to be quiet. What you got to say about it, boss? Other mic.
Oh, you're on mic, too.
Jimmy, it ain't like we planned it without you.
Yeah, you did.
No, we didn't. We didn't plan this without you. We just happened to hit a time that you couldn't be there.
Yeah.
We planned on you being there. Yeah. Somehow.
Well,
but then you said, well, I can't be there after the show because you've got other duties that you don't have. So you're letting other things take priority over what you should be doing cook-off.
That's not it. I'm going to tell you guys the rest of the story. Since I've been employed here a little over a year, year and a half almost, and we had a little golf playoff over at Clinton. I beat the boss. And then we had a Christmas party
a year ago at
Mountain Man's, and we had an axe contest. Tell everybody who won, boss.
Yep.
That's what
there's
I thought.
Just somebody. Hey, we come down to a final.
Yeah. Yeah. It was you and me.
And it was shovels.
And you're such a sore loser.
Well, I just don't like to lose.
I know.
I'm not sore about losing. I just don't like losing.
Yeah, well, maybe you should learn to hit the bullseye instead of the floor.
Well, we were throwing shovels, and it was kind of a surprise.
Yeah. And and that's the reason why you guys don't want me there tomorrow. And honestly, since I'm not, I hope Skinny on the Sports, Mr. Aaron Cout, wins the chili cook-off. That's my pick to win.
You know, the chili cook-off's nothing to me. It's the ping pong that matters. What's the game
you're
called?
You're digging your hole deeper. You don't want me over there playing ping pong against you.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I really kind of do.
Yeah, well, you guys ought to do this a little different. So anyway.
Well, we're just trying to have lunch during lunch, Jimmy.
So
that's what we're trying to do.
So,
just regular.
Hey, the boss and I were talking this morning, and we're just talking. It's just talk, nothing in the plans yet. But what do you guys think about having a chili contest, cook-off contest, here in the middle part of western Oklahoma in Beckham County? Because it's halfway to Hollis and halfway to Woodward, you know, in between. We'll have a Today in Ag chili cook-off. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, just chili cook-off, and we need to wait till, you know, my rule at the house. Here's my rule. It's got to be below 60 degrees for 2 weeks before we can start cooking chili.
Yes, it needs to be cold.
It needs to be cold. That's just the general. We can't start. Now, we're breaking the rule here. I'm going to make some chili tonight and then let her soak in for tomorrow. But, you know, it's just I'm not letting anybody at the house eat it because it's against the rules.
Well, I thought I had somebody replying to your comment, but it's not. They have a baby Grand Piano for sale. They're a little late for Tradio.
Tradio was earlier.
Yeah, that's about an hour and a half ago.
But, you know, I think, Jimmy, I bet we could do a big chili cook-off, a big one. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't know what, you know, it's so odd. Chili is so it varies both ways. It's like some people like it hot. Some people like it meaty. Some people like it beaned. Some people like, you know, it all comes down to the judge. And I mean, that's what I'm trying. I'm like going, who judges this stuff?
Yeah. We need to find.
Who qualifies?
Yeah.
What qualifies you to be a chili judge? That's what text me. Let me know. What qualifies you to be a chili judge?
Yeah.
Not just because you're hungry.
580-225-9697.
Let me know about that. We may have to use you as a judge tomorrow, whoever you are.
Yeah. Hey, it's free meal.
It's free. You're going to have a lot of chili.
And they're going to have how many batches of chili is it going to be? Six?
I don't know.
Five?
It depends on who makes them.
It's got to be certified Angus meat.
it doesn't either to win, Jimmy. It don't have to be.
Yeah, I already got one reply. This guy says beans do not go into chili.
See, that's what some people say. Aaron, what do you think?
I agree with that.
Aaron agrees with that. Yeah, he agrees that beans shouldn't go in there.
I mean, don't bring a can of Wolf Brand chili and a can of brown beans and mix them together. Don't do that. Wait, we got what we got here? Here we go. Good hunting wagon.
No, that's wrong. Wrong show.
Yeah, wrong show.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do about having a cornhole. Hey, what about a cornhole chili cook-off?
There we go.
Both together at the same time.
Yeah, because cornhole is going to – we need to do that indoors.
Yeah, I have a place. I've got a place. We can do that.
All right.
We're looking for a date. We're going to look for a date. We have a place.
Does anybody want to be a judge tomorrow from 11 to 1 for a free meal? You don't have to spend the whole 2 hours there.
No, we just need you to come by and taste test all of them.
I'm not very bright about stuff like this, but is a chili tasting deal, do you have to do like wine, eat crackers, clean your palate, stuff like
that? See, we don't know, Jimmy. We don't know. We've had this contest here at the KCO for quite a while. And we've had the move. I've been a chili champion once. Aaron, have you been chili champion? Oh, well.
Greer County, right?
He's never. Oh, he's got the Greer. Oh, he's got the Greer County champion recipe.
Oh, I
think
I
it's
got
all
you.
Subject to the. Was your father-in-law the judge?
Yeah. There we all go. Right. All right. Thanks, boss. Anyway, yeah. Man, it's. The cool season is coming up for us, so it should be good. And why isn't all these text messages? Oh, here we go. There is. Oh, I got you. There's also a certain time of the year that deer eat the leaves. We're back to the leaves deal right now. Deer, and I have seen deers eat them. And then I got another one text message. Some leaves provide good protein, but digestibility is low. Some species of trees, their leaves can be toxic to cattle. Beans and chilies. Hey, here we go. You guys listening? Aaron, you listening? Beans and chili should warrant automatic disqualification. It's good. And then we got from Clinton, you can only judge chili if you believe beans don't go in chili. Well, that seems to be a popular thing. And then also we got there have been chili cook-offs at the Old Town Museum. Yes, I remember that. I think Terry Malone Shavinky was involved with that deal, if I remember. I think the last one was before COVID started, so I don't know if we've had any more chili cook-offs since then. So anyway, thanks for all your replies on the leaves and stuff, but I've seen deer eat them sitting there in the stand with my bow waiting on them. They come by and they chew on the leaves, and I've seen cattle reach up and eat the bottom part of tree leaves when the grass is zilch or something like that. But yesterday, I'm telling you, if you'll get on our page, our KCO page, I posted a picture on there. They were attacking it like it was ice cream. It was funny. It was kind of fun to watch. All right, let's get back to business here. Well, no, let's not go back to business. Let's take a break. When I come back, we'll talk some cattle. I got their live and feeder cattle prices, and I'll go over a few results. Details on Jerry Nine's report from yesterday, but actually Jerry called in this morning and here's his report from yesterday and last Thursday.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First out of the Thursday, September the 29th. We're expecting 2,500 to 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. For Woodward, got 50 calves of 5. Alba got 110 steers or weaned. Their black's extremely nice. Weaned 30 days, weigh 5.5. Alba got 30 steers, nervous of 5. Gate 42 steers, nervous 4 to 5. Moreland, 66 steers, 5 to 650. Georgia off the ranch, their yearlings, 58 steers, nervous 7.5. Shattuck, 151 steers, nervous 6 to 750. Thomas got 82 steers, 8.5 to 9.5. more than 61 heifers, 7 to 8, slap out 17 heifers, 7 and a half. Moreland got 50 steers and heifers at 7. May got 25 heifers, 7 and a half. Winoka, 70 steers and heifers, 7 and a half. Sealing, 70 heifers, 550 to 6. They're yearlings. Tuesday, we sold 1,559 cows, bulls, and calves. Cows top 91 and a half, bulls top 103.50. Give us a call. Remember, our commission on calves and feeders is $5.05, cheaper than some other barns close. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This big sale is the Bill and Peggy Grissom Estate Auction. This is 145.43 acres offered in 12 tracts. Or somebody could buy the whole farm, the 145.43 acres along with the house and the shop, if the money's right. It's a prime location, 1405 West Lakeview Road in Elk City, near the Elk City Golf and Country Club and Elk City Lake. Track number 9, it's a 1,900 square foot house with 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, fireplace, safe room, water softener, updated windows, a recently replaced roof. There's also an attached garage, and the house was built in 1980. And there's also a shop out back behind the house. It's going to be an absolute auction. It's going to happen Thursday, September the 29th at 6 p.m. My name is Mark Haney. I'm a realtor and auctioneer with Moxie Realty and Auction Company here in Elk City, Oklahoma. You can find all the auction details by going to moxierealty.com. That's M-O-X-Y-R-E-A-L-T-Y.com.
Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. Come shop the all-new SUVs arriving daily and let us upgrade your ride. We're giving the most money for your used vehicles, regardless of the brand or condition. And don't forget about our service department. Everything from oil changes to tires and more. That's the Barber Dyson difference, only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 26. 2,176 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 463 brought 197. 6 at 493 brought 179. 8 at 579 brought 168. 14 at 644 brought 151.50. 27 at 805 brought 173.50. 46 at 851 brought 169.75. 7 at 930 brought 165. 18 head of heifers at 372 brought 164. 4 at 413 brought 170. 8 at 484 brought 157. 5 at 540 brought 159, 23 at 592 brought 167, 12 at 678 brought 166, 16 at 803 brought 155. Butcher cows were 22 to 86.50, butcher bulls brought 45 to 112.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All righty. Livestock's not doing too good on the market today. Live cattle for October, 143.10. December, 146.20. February, 150.25. April, 153.95. Feeder cattle, September 175.30. October, this is the misprint, is the identical 175.30. Lean hogs, October 88.62. December 75.55. February hogs are $79.20. I haven't shouted out to some of the sponsors at 100.1 KWFX at Woodward since we started airing up there but once, and I just wanted to give a big shout out to the people up in Woodward in that area in the northwestern part of Oklahoma. Ace Hardware, Merriman's Furniture, Stock Exchange Bank, County Line Supply right there on the north side of Visa. I've been there numerous times. Gwen Matthews State Farm, Harper Sanitation, Moore's Roofing, and added this week, Connection Irrigation out of Yukon is one of the sponsors for both shows, both stations, or one show, both stations. How's that? Anyway. Well, Jerry gave his report a while ago, and if you weren't listening, I wanted to go over just a few of them. He had 1,559 head there yesterday compared to last year. That's 580 head. Breaker cows, they looks like he has around almost 50 there. They were bringing anywhere from $74 to $91.50. The 1,724 pounders look like they were bringing the most at $91.50. So the big girls were bringing a lot of money yesterday. Boner cows, looks like he had almost 400 head there yesterday. They averaged anywhere from 960 pounds to 1,331 pounds, and they were bringing anywhere from 65 to 80.50. So not too bad. I mean, it's a little cheaper than they have been, but it's not bottomed out. Lean cows, looks like just a wild guess, almost 500 head of lean cows yesterday, averaging anywhere from 890 pounds to 1490. Average weight on the big ones was the most was had 191 head, averaged 1143 pounds. We're bringing anywhere from $62.50 to $72 per hundred weight. Bulls, he looks like he had 24 head in there, was weighing anywhere from 1555 to 2250, average weight 1895, and price range was 9750 to 10350. So looks like the bulls are down about a dime. Bred cows, had one 2 to 4 year old, just had one head up there yesterday, brought 1200 head. And then the bred cows, medium and large, number ones, anywhere from 2 to 4 year olds to 5 and 8 year olds, were bringing anywhere from 860 to 1250. 1300 was the highest I've seen in there. Cow calf pairs, didn't have a lot yesterday, had 8 pairs in there that was 5 to 8 years old, and they were only bringing about 1127. So looks like the bred cows in the pairs markets are down quite a bit. So anyway, we'll got that out of the way. All right, Dr. Peel, let me find him. There. Didn't have time to do it yesterday since I had the fire chief from Hammond on here, but most of you probably already read it, but for you guys that haven't, the latest USDA cattle on feed report shows that September 1 feedlot inventory was at 11.279 million head. That's 100.4% of last year. Feedlot inventories typically reach a seasonal low in August or September, with the low occurring in August in 4 of the last 10 years and 6 times in September. The September 2022 inventory was up 0.5% from August, indicating that August was the low this year. The August low was 975,000 head, down 8% from February, the record on feed inventory in February of this year. Actually, feedlot inventories grow seasonally in the fall, but the increase this year is expected to be less than the record levels last year. August placements in the cattle on feed report continue to trend in recent months of large placements of lightweight cattle with fewer heavier placements. August placements was 100.4% also of last year. In the past 4 months, from May to August, total placements was down 0.6% year over year, with under 700 pounds up 5.3%, and placements over 700 pounds down 3.7%. The feedlot placement patterns this year are consistent with feeder cattle marketing data in Oklahoma. Since July 1st, the combined auction volume of feeder cattle has been 17.5% above last year, but the percentage of those cattle that were over 600 pounds has been much less than normal. These are certainly indications that more feeder cattle have been marketed earlier and lighter weight than usual. The fall runs of calves in October and November should be noticeably reduced this year, especially with no rain in the forecast and no fall forage going on. Marketing from the feedlots in August was 106.4% of last year, and that's higher than by 1.7% last year compared to business day in August. Both feedlot inventories and cattle slaughter have remained stubbornly high this year due to the drought forced movement of cattle out of the country. Total fed cattle slaughter this year in 2022 is up almost 1% as the 1.7% decrease in steer slaughter for year to date is offset by the 4.9% increase in heifer slaughter. So, and I think I reported the other day that there was like 600,000 more cows and heifers slaughtered this year compared to last year, if I remember reading that right. Last but not least, from Dr. Peel, cattle slaughter and beef production are projected to decrease year over year in the fourth quarter, but higher than expected beef production in the first three quarters of the year likely mean that annual totals for beef production will be steady or fractionally higher year over year. Feedlot production, cattle slaughter, and beef production are all expected to decrease sharply next year, according to Dr. Peel from Oklahoma State University. When I come back, I'll have your forecast provided to you from Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
With a small farmer, a big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons of free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Looking for something sweet? Stop. ZNR Snack Bar is the newest hit in town. Tara and her family have figured out the secret. They have treats available all day long, but they can also take special orders on anything from weddings to birthdays to graduations or any other get-together you could possibly be having. This is where cravings and creation collide. ZNR Snack Bar, located at 202 South Randall in Elk City. 580-374-2476.
ZNR Snack Bar.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Elk City Mesonet Center, 85 degrees, heat index is 82, the wind's out of the north at 14 miles an hour with the humidity sliding in around 26%. Today, 87 degrees for a high, tomorrow 87. Friday warms up to 90, Saturday 89. And Sunday, 84. Doesn't look like there's a tremendous lot of wind in our five-day forecast there, but anyway, that'd be good, except for today. Maybe it'll be a little gusty today. That's provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. They're in Hobart, Oklahoma, the capital of Kiowa County. Like I said, if you guys have never seen a big Browning gun dealer in Oklahoma, you need to go check them out down there at Hobart. It's in the back room. Just walk in, walk past the cash registers, wave at the guys, ignore them, just right back to the candy store back there where they got guns and ammo and boots and everything. Got lots of ammo down there, by the way. If you're ever needing some ammo, give them a shout down there, give them a call. They'll see if they got it. If they can't, they'll find it for you. All right, well, tomorrow evening's a big day. The Quail Forever Banquet, the North Fork Quail Forever Banquet is happening here in Elk City at the Elks Lodge. If you're interested in going, just get online at quailforever.org. Find the events, click in North Fork, and all tickets are right there, sponsored. We've got awesome lot of sponsors. I counted up yesterday how many guns we're going to either give away or auction, and 18 guns will be there tomorrow evening. So anyway, it'll be a good time. Lots of nice guns too, not just your cheap guns. These are all Russ and Kobe and all the guys and board members on the North Fork Quail Forever board. We're picky about the guns, so there'll be some nice guns. We've got lots of great sponsors. I think there's 10 sponsors. I think this might be the most sponsors we've had this year, but there's going to be a good time. And what else would we serve for dinner but say beef? It's what's for dinner, because we are having some really nice Kansas City strips for dinner tomorrow night with baked potato and salad, green beans, and they will be refreshments served at the Elks Lodge. So get online or give me a call, or Rusty Wilson or Russ Rundle or Kobe Roberts, Dr. Roberts, if you're interested in coming. Like I said, you cannot buy tickets at the door. It's got to be online. And we'd appreciate everybody showing up, and all the money stays right here in Western Oklahoma to help with habitat, conservation, and kids. And kids is so important to our group here. So be sure and get on there and get out. We've got one more day. Tomorrow night, it's a big night. All right, let's see what else is going on. For my friends over in the Texas Panhandle, and actually south of Altus down there in the North Texas around Burden and stuff, here's what's happening in Texas with the crop progress. It looks like 93% of corn in Texas is mature. 72% has been harvested already. And cotton, bolls opening, 62%. And harvested is 25%. Peanuts, 34% mature, according to this report. So nobody's been digging any or that we know of. And rice, 93% harvested. Sorghum is 96% mature and 82% harvested. In the state of Texas, soybeans that are dropping leaves are 87% and harvested is around 30. a winter wheat planted, 44% in the state of Texas. Emerged is only 9%. And other things planted in Texas, oats is planted, is 23% planted for those that are planted. So that's your Texas crop and progress and condition report from the USDA. And there we go on that. All right, what else we got going on around here? Late fall. All right, got time for this. I wanted to do this yesterday. I just run out. There's too many things to talk about when it comes to agriculture. Watching our late night news last week, the weatherman made his first mention of frost warning for the year. This is up north. Admittedly, it was much farther north in the state than where I live, but it was a wake-up call that long underwear will soon need to be located in the bottom of the dresser drawer. My wife always has mine down there in the bottom drawer, neatly folded and ready to go. So I'm ready whenever it gets here. First frosts and freezes also bring to mind the succession of plant growth. It's not life. Fortunately, alfalfa falls in the former category. It is at this point when alfalfa quits growing, that's an opportunity for a final harvest that exists. Conventional wisdom is that it's a safer time than 4 to 6 weeks before a growth stop in frost or freeze. With the late fall cut, plants are unlikely to use stored root reserves to initiate new growth. Through my years of working closely with many alfalfa producers, I've found that there are three primary reasons why farmers cut alfalfa late in the fall. Here's number one. Can't bear to waste perfectly good forage. In the case where favorable weather has contributed to significant fall growth, it's hard to leave an apparent high-yielding, high-quality crop out there in the field. However, the reality is that late fall cut alfalfa is rarely, if ever, high yielding. Yes, the crop can sometimes be tall, but the stems are usually small and there are fewer of them. What looks like a high yield crop usually shrinks to nearly nothing when put into a swath or a windrow. This makes for expensive forage when harvest costs are considered. And this is one year everybody needs to think about it with all of our high input costs. But on the flip side, late fall cut forage is almost always excellent quality. With the extended cool temperatures, there's low fiber disposition and fiber digestibility stays very high. Number two, it will smother out if not cut. There's been a long-held concern, a myth is what I'm getting from this story, by some that fall alfalfa growth will smother and kill a stand over the winter. This simply does not happen with the legume such as alfalfa. Rather, leaves freeze and eventually drop off the plant. Stems, for the most part, stand erect. The old fall aftermath may impact forage quality in next year's first cutting, but if harvested early enough, the reduction in quality is very minimal. And last but not least, there's a need for some feed. Following a year's severe winter kill or drought, sometimes alfalfa is cut in the late fall simply just to meet a need for an additional feed. It's difficult to be critical of this thinking, but it will be an expensive forage. What he says is the downside to fall forage. Through the risk to cut alfalfa in the late fall has proven to be less than when regrowth potential is high, the practice is not without some downside. Already mentioned in the fact that yields are typically low, they will be even lower if the cutting height is raised, is often recommended for late fall cut. You always cut it high, don't cut it down low. It needs to have some cover. Also consider the field cuts in the late fall generally break dormancy later during the fall and spring, and have a lower first cut yield compared to not being fall cut. The gain in the fall yield is about as equal to the loss in the spring yield. This is not to say that fields are winter injured, but rather less vigorously come spring. Leaving the fall aftermath growth over winter is beneficial to not just catching and holding snow cover, but it's also has the effect of moderating soil temperature fluctuations during the winter and early spring. In other words, they're saying if it's got cover, the ground temperature will stay at a certain temperature as long as it just ain't miserable cold. It is the extreme soil temperature fluctuations that may cause alfalfa to break dormancy too early or cause plant heaving. Finally, consider the condition of the alfalfa stand before taking a late fall cut. If it's already being stressed by intensive cutting, pest issues, or low soil fertility, stress from an additional cutting will likely accelerate the stand decline. All factors considered, the need for feed prior to the next year's harvest may be the only really, really good reason to cut alfalfa in the late fall. And I know people that graze alfalfa during the winter, so you don't have to cut your late season alfalfa cutting. That's just more for you to feed out for the cattle. Anyway, well, hope you guys enjoyed the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. Sorry about my boss. He's not very good on the radio. He likes to yell and stuff at me. But anyway, I hope they have a happy chili cook-off tomorrow. I'm going to cook some tonight. I'm going to bring some to them tomorrow. We'll see if Angus beef is better than grass-fed. Anyway, it's Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.